Brother Leonard. I did want to say too, I appreciated each one of you that supported our Bible school this past week. I know some of you came up and spent time teaching, and thank you for that. And just the ones that just came up and supported it, I really appreciate that. Had a good week of Bible school. I really appreciated Brother Jay's devotions this morning. I just had to think, and Jay was kind of going on about his week, and he went to a simple passage, a simple teaching of Jesus, and I was again was reminded again that, you know, those teachings of Jesus work. It's just so simple, turn the other cheek. You know, what would happen if Jay would have done the otherwise and got mad and shouted back to his customer, but you know, he said he walked out happy. You know, this morning, those teachings of Jesus work. They're so simple. And I know it takes a lot of... There's that human nature inside of us that so often want to respond in a different way. And I just appreciated that so much. I appreciated the Sunday school as well. For a message this morning, you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. I like to read... chapter 2, 10 verses here, and then a few little, pull little thoughts out of these verses for our message this morning. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1 here. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him should not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which is disobedient, The stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, and being disobedient, whereunto they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are a people of God, which have not obtained mercy, which had not attained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Going to verse 4, talks about, to whom coming unto us a living stone. Talks about a living stone coming to us. Was disallowed of men. And that thought is referred as being rejected of man. But chosen of God and precious. Who is Peter talking about here? Who is Peter talking? Well, it's Jesus Christ. This Jesus, God's Son, came to this earth by his Father as this living stone. Living stone. Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the chief cornerstone. You know, Jesus Christ came. That's what Peter's talking about. Even though he was rejected of men, many despised him. Many rejected him. But he came to us as a savior, a mankind, chosen by God. So precious. This morning, our son Jesus was so precious. And you know, he bore the sins of us this morning. Isn't that wonderful? And washed him with his blood. And Christ is this living stone this morning. But I'd like to also go to verse 5. It starts out here, ye also, as living stones. I'd like to just stop there for a little bit. What's he talking about? Ye also as lively stones. And that is the title of my message this morning, Lively Stones. And I like just to break that down and just stones. What are stones? Well, we all know what stones are. And you can hold a stone in your hand. You know, it's something, a stone is hard. It is very hard. You hold it in your hand. It's something that's heavy and hard. But there's, when you get a look at a stone, how much life is in a stone? When you look at a stone, it is lifeless. There is no life in a stone. Just a hard lump rock that has no life in it. That's a stone. Something that is opposite of lively here. And he says, ye are also lively stones. I believe this morning, a stone, a hard old stone, describes a person that does not know Christ and that is not born again. You know, if this morning, if you don't have Christ in your heart, you're like that dead old stone that is so hard and dried up, that has no life in you. We're dead because of sin. And when we're living for pleasure and self, and that's the type of life that the old stone has. And we don't have God's smell of approval in our lives when we live a life like that. And when we chase after the ways of the world and we think the ways look so attractive, if we do that, we'll be a slave to Satan. Satan will have a grip on our lives. We have evil thoughts and desires. We have an impure thought life. And we don't live a pure life because we are just living like a rock, just hard, hard-headed rock. We are, and it's because we are dead in sin. How are you living your life this morning? But what happens this morning, dear ones, when I turn my life over to God? When I give my heart to God and become born again and become a Christian? This old stone becomes alive. We become a lively stone. That old dead stone brings life. You know what's amazing? What Christ can do, what God can do. Us as hard, dead stones. And we're living a life of sin. We're living for self. We're living for just living a life of sin. We're just hard like that rock. You know, when we turn our life over to God, things happen. Things change. Things soften up. You know, it's such a blessing this morning that you and I, you know, we're born with that sinful nature, a nature that is bent towards sin, slave to sin. But you know, tonight, this morning, we can become alive. We can come alive, become a lively stone. How can we become lively stones? I'd like to read a few verses in Ephesians chapter 2 that are so... That I enjoy so much. Ephesians chapter 2. I'll read verses 1 to 3 here. He hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein, in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now that worketh in the children of disobedience. Among also we are, had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature were the children of wrath, even as others. It talks about here in verse 1, about being dead in trespasses and in sins. Being dead to God. You know, talked about when we lived that old life. You know, we lived for ourselves. We had those selfish desires. We lived an impure life. You know, that could be still be our story this morning. And maybe it is your story this morning. Maybe you never found true happiness. Maybe you never found God. But you know, we could be all in that condition this morning. Living a dead, sinful, useless life. Like that old stone I described about. But in verse 4, makes a difference. But it says, but God, who is what? Rich in mercy. For his what? His great love. He loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sin, he loved us. And then what did he do for us? He says he quickened us. And that word quickened means made alive. Made us alive together with Christ. And by grace you are saved. What a blessing this morning. What Christ can do for us. He can make us alive. You know, God loved us so much. He made a way for us. Even though we were dead in sin, he quickened us, made us raise up together, that we could sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, God made a way for us by sending his son, Jesus. That old hard stone life that is dead can become alive. Going back to 2 Peter, our text passages, what else happens when we become alive or become lively stones? What else happens when we let Christ into our hearts? Well, verse 1 in chapter 2 says, we need to lay away, aside, all malice, all wickedness, all guile, hypocrisies, enemies, and evil speakings. We need to, what Peter's trying to say here, we need to lay that aside. We need to let Christ into our hearts. Let him wash our hearts with his precious blood. Then we become as newborn babies here. And it talks about we need to be as newborn babes. Their desire for the milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Is that your desire this morning? Dear Christians, my challenge is to you and myself that we need to drink in the word. We need to drink in God's word. Do I have that desire for God's word? Am I like that newborn babe that has that strong desire for God's word? You know, it's amazing. You're around a baby. You don't have to be around them too long. When they're hungry, they are hungry. When they went fed, it can be 2 o'clock in the morning. It can be any time of the day. Even though when mom's busy or whatever. When they cry out, they want fed now. They have that desire to be fed. Am I that? Do I have that much desire for God's word? Do I just cry out and have that strong desire to feed on God's word? Just a challenge for myself and to use. And as a baby drinks the milk, starts to grow. You know, this morning, dear Christians, are you growing this morning? It's an important part of turning your life over to God and growing. Then verse 3, and you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious this morning. He sure is. Are you tasting it? Do you taste? Do you have that desire as newborn babes taste that milk. And this morning, are we getting into the milk of the Word? Are we tasting it and realizing that this is what God wants for us? The Lord is gracious. Moving on to the second part of my message. Going back to verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Build up a spiritual house. What do we do when we become alive? What do we do, dear ones, this morning when we turn our life over to God? That old stone becomes alive. What do we do? Well, Peter says here, we're supposed to build up a spiritual house. Build up a spiritual house. We need to come together as lively stones and build up the spiritual house. And what is the spiritual house he's talking about here? I believe it's the church, the brotherhood, the church of Jesus Christ. All of us this morning, Christian people that are lively stones, need to come together and be part of the church of Jesus. Peter portrays the church here as a living spiritual house. Spiritual house here. Isn't it a blessing this morning, dear ones, to be part of a church this morning, a spiritual house, that we can bring our lively stones together and bring them and do what with them? Well, there's a very important part of this spiritual house. And that is what? Why I talked earlier about verse 6 here. Talks about a foundation. Who is this foundation? Who is the cornerstone of the church this morning? Well, it's Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, isn't that a blessing? Jesus Christ is the foundation, the cornerstone this morning. And each one of us that claim the name of Christ is a stone. It is so beautiful. And the most beautiful thing we can do this morning is become a lively stone and come and lay our stone on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Lay our stones on the foundation of Jesus Christ and build the walls of the church. Build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. You know, we can become a Christian. And I believe that's the number one and the most important choice we can make in our life. To make that choice that I am going to follow Christ no matter what. I'm going to change the direction of my walk. I'm going to walk toward God and with God. But you know, this morning, then the second choice needs to make, we need to be part of the temple of God. We need to be part of this spiritual house. In Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16, Paul talks about, portrays the church as a body. Christ is the head. And each believer is a member or part of the body. And here in this count, Peter is using the example of a wall. Both examples fit very well. Just having one stone this morning is not going to build a wall or a temple. Just one stone out there by itself. And if one of my body parts is missing, if my hand's gone, my arm's gone, won't I feel handicapped? I can't work as efficient. You know, we need all body parts to work efficiently. And that is so important. And that is how it needs to be in the body of Christ. This morning, dear Christian people, we need each other. And like I said, what good does a stone do by itself? We can't build a wall. that way. We need each other, brothers and sisters. We do. You know, when I can come and lay my lively stone on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and I can lay my stone there, and Brother Jay can lay his stone there, and Brother Myron and Brother Leonard, the list, all of us here are a very important part of this building. And we can, and the most important thing is, in this whole building process, is the foundation. And that is Jesus Christ. A foundation that's going to stand forever. You know, that's what, I'm not sure if that's what Peter had in mind when, back in Matthew, when Jesus was saying, they had that little discussion going, and Jesus asked the disciples, who do people saying that I am? And the disciples were saying, some are Elias, and some are saying, you are so-and-so, and but Jesus said, who say that I am? And then Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, thou hast answered right, however it goes. He said, thou art Peter. But he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He said, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Oh, what a promise. What a beautiful illustration this morning. What would we rather be is be part of the church this morning and build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, the foundation that's going to stand forever. And it's so beautiful as we can come as lively stones and build and lay our stones on this foundation. It doesn't matter what background or what race or what my last name is. It doesn't matter what past life I lived. If you are washed and cleansed and are alive this morning, get your stone up there on the wall. Get it up there on the wall. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. It's the place where we want to be, dear friends. How many this morning, do we realize the importance of the Christians, brothers, sisters' influence on my life? Do I realize how important that is? We need each other. We need the help of each other. We need the influence of each other. You know, it's so sad. We may know so many people today that don't want to be part of the church. And they go out. Just let me and God, we're okay. There's too many hypocrites in the church, they might say. There's too many. And the list goes on. The excuses they make. Maybe they don't like the church's guidelines. They don't need the church's guidelines. They don't need the brotherhood. They don't want to be accountable to the brotherhood. Maybe they don't like the way how the church tells them how to live. Maybe sometimes they come and tap them on the shoulder. But brothers and sisters, we need each other. That's the point I like to break. That's the burden, that we need each other. I need you, you need me. I need your influence on my life. You need my influence on your life. I need when you come and tap Kevin on the shoulder and say, look, there's an area in here you need to shaping up on. Or there's a concern I have in your spiritual life. Brothers and sisters, are we open to that? I think that's so important. And building these walls of the church and making them strong. Strong brotherhood. Do you see the importance of the brotherhood this morning? Do you see the importance of your brothers and sisters? Do you see the importance? I hope you do. I really hope you do see the importance of building Christ's church. Coming together as lively stones. Building the walls of the church. It's so important. You know, so many times, we look at our brothers and we look at our sisters and we see the faults in them. And we rather talk about their faults behind their back. And we rather maybe cut them up But brothers and sisters, let's be brethren and sisters that have a love for each other, that want to reach out to each other, lift our brothers' burdens up with them, make the wall stronger, make it stronger. I'd like to read a few verses here in Ephesians chapter 2 as well, 18 through 22. For through him we have both an access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and all in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, and whom ye also are built together for the inhabitation of God through the Spirit. Whose church is this morning? It's the church of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. It says here, Christ himself being the cornerstone, a building that is fitly framed together, groweth unto the holy temple of the Lord. And I love verse 19. We're no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God. That's who we are this morning, dear ones. Or are you that? Are you a stranger and foreigner here? Or are you a fellow citizen with God and Christ himself? Moving on, I'd like to say, whose church is this? I'd like to read verses 6 and 7. Wherefore it also constrained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, that he that believeth on him should not be confounded. For unto therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them is which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they are also appointed. Well, like I mentioned, whose church is this? It's the church of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be put ashamed. Verse 8 talks about the rock of Jesus Christ is precious and elect, but will be rejected by men or by someone. Some will stumble over him because they reject him, who he is, or say who he is. Psalms 118:22 says, the stone which the builders refuse has become the headstone of the corner. And that is so true. So many people have rejected Christ. They wanted to get rid of Christ. No part of Christ. And yet he is the head of the cornerstone this morning. He is. Many people stumbled over him and are stumbling over him today. Many today are rejecting him. And it's so sad to see so many that have been raised in Christian homes that have turned your back on him. Some characteristics of Christ, the cornerstone. He is completely trustworthy. We can trust him this morning. We can put our trust in Christ. Are you doing that? That's something we can trust. We don't need to wonder if he's trustworthy, if he's going to keep his word, if he's always going to be there with us, like he says he would. Like he said, come unto me, all ye that heavy and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He's trustworthy. He's precious to the believers. He's very precious. Is he precious to you this morning? Does he mean a lot to you? He was rejected by many, like I mentioned earlier, but he's the most important part of the church. You know, the biggest mistake we can make this morning, and people that are around us are making, and when when we refuse to accept Jesus as our personal Savior and let Him take away our sins, many have stumbled over Him, the one person who can save them from eternal, from their terrible sin, and save them from the great judgment of God. I'd like to go back to verse 5 here again. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. I like to comment a little bit on that phrase, to offer up spiritual sacrifice to God by Jesus Christ. It's saying here that we need to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. What are the spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God? In Old Testament times, the priests would offer up sacrificing, would sacrifice animals, laying animals upon the altar. They would cut up animal after animal after animal. And that was offering up sacrifice. Animal blood was shed time after time after time. That was their worship. But in all that, God still wanted a heart of true worship. A heart that was a full obedience to Him. A heart that was fully committed to Him. Back in the Old Testament time, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 says, Sam said, was telling Saul, this is when Saul went and offered up burnt offerings instead of waiting on Samuel. Samuel is better to obey than to sacrifice, even though the Lord delights in the burnt offerings. He was trying to tell Saul, you know, it's better to sacrifice. To obey is better. To sacrifice a heart. But this morning, we need to have true worship. We need to have true sacrifices. Offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. That's what God wants from His people. A heart that's fully committed to Him. A people that need to gather in together for worship, that love the Lord from the bottom of their hearts. God wants His holy priesthood, quotes, to offer ourselves as living spiritual sacrificing. Are we doing that this morning? Can we do that this morning within inside of these walls? Can we offer up spiritual sacrifices as us as holy priesthood, us as Christian people? You know, this morning we don't worship like they did back in the Old Testament. We're living in the new dispensation. But we still gotta get together for our hearts for true worship, laying aside our desires, our own desires, putting our energy and resources in Him, trusting Him to guide us. And I trust that's why you are here this morning, gathered together to offer up these spiritual sacrifices to our Lord. Oh, what a blessing we can do that this morning. We can offer up spiritual sacrifices. We can come together for worship. Lift up in worship. It's not just something we do on a Sunday morning because that's all we can remember doing. It got to go beyond that. Our heart's got to be desire. That's where I need to be. That's got to be my desire, to be in God's house with God's people. A few verses in Hebrews. Chapter 10, verse 22. I like to read, I'll start at 19 through 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he that is faithful is promised. And let us consider one to another and provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as much more you see the day approaching. Powerful verses here. Verses for us all to take home. Let us draw near, hearts that are sprinkled from an evil conscience, bodies that have been washed with his blood, with pure water. And this morning, we can live, have a history of sin. We can be living a life of sin. But this morning, what a blessing we can come and bring our sinful lives to Christ. And he will wash them. Then what are we supposed to do? Let us hold fast the profession without wavering. Are we doing that this morning? Are we committed Christians this morning? Is that your profession this morning? Are you hanging on without wavering? Is that how you're living your Christian life from day to day? Without wavering. You knowing that this is the only way that's going to get me through. Is having our, holding on our profession without wavering. Have our eyes on Christ. And living our Christian life. Verse 21. Or verse 23. Or verse 24, I should say. Let us consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking. Verse 25. And in verse 24 again, the thought I like there is, let us consider one to another. Provoke unto love and to good works. Do we do that this morning? Are we doing that? Provoking each other into love as brethren and sisters, as lively stones this morning on the foundation. Are we provoking each other, exhorting one another, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as some manner is, but exhorting one to another as we see that day approaching? You know, I don't know how long it's going to be when this high priest, this cornerstone, this Jesus Christ is going to come for the church this morning. You know, that day's approaching. It may be today. Let's not forsake the assembly of each other, as some manner is, but let's exhort each other. Are we doing that? Brothers and sisters, the blessed place we should be left to be is in God's house, exhorting one to another, not forsaking the assembly. And we can do that this morning. We can offer ourselves spiritual sacrifices this morning by in God's house, not forsaking the assembly, exhorting one another, as much as you see that day approaching. This morning, the challenge I'd like to leave with you: how am I living my Christian life? Am I a lively stone? I like to read back in our text again, in verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who had called you out of darkness unto his marvelous life, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which not have obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. this morning, if you're a lively stone this morning, he said you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth praises of him. Called you out of the darkness of sin into his marvelous light. This morning, dear ones, it is a blessing to be one of his children, to be alive in him, to be alive and to be a part of the foundation of Jesus Christ. A holy people, a chosen generation, it says here. People of light, are you that this morning? That's the challenge I like to leave with you. The challenge that I had for myself as I studied this. Are we lively stones this morning? You know, that's the only way we'll get through this life. Let's pray.